Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage. All the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Anyway, but the funniest one for me was a health textbook that I didn't actually own this textbook, but it was handed out in class. And Marky's voice lost it. There was a picture of a gymnast. And this gymnast was standing on her tiptoes with her, like, arms spread out, like, you know, about to do a routine. Marky voice lost it. And there was this big arch of urine just, like, what? Spurting forth from this picture. And it had the words, 10 out of 10.
There's a rat called Rattus. He's a leader of the bunch. A cat called Modigliana. She's fluffy, but she's tough.
Darren, he's a dopey dog.
Lick, she's a muddled up, mixed up bunny.
This is Monkey Boy, Swinney Costello, and Mike, and this is episode 7 of the Ferals podcast.
Hey, that's the first time my full name has been used on this podcast.
That's right, John.
Swinney Costello?
Yeah.
No, I don't think so.
No, I think I said it once before. I'm pretty sure I said it once before.
Hey, I listen back to every single episode, I'm telling you. It's the first time my full name's been referenced on the podcast. It's been on the review star ratings. But
yes,
not the podcast.
Although I've reduced it to Swinney now, but it still says it in the author's names if you sign up to the podcast and subscribe to it.
The full Swinney Costello name. Huh.
What am I just... Costello, what?
Swinney Costello. So do I just Mike under the full name, Mike? Insert surname here.
So episode title, School's Out. It opens with Moddy reading a mystery novel. She gets up to the last page. It's a murder mystery, I believe. And then she just reads the end without actually speaking it out and says, oh, who would have expected it was him? And then that was it. And then the rest of the Ferals who are going crazy because they can't read. We find out that the rest of them are literate. Apart from Moddy, she knows how to read.
Gives them murder mystery blue balls.
Yeah.
I hate that.
I mean, that's what it's leading up to, and then it's just like, nah, sorry, not finishing you off.
Not finishing you off. I love it. She gets called a bum face, and then they're all frustrated, and they turn to Robbie and Lenny to actually read the rest of the book. I think they were looking for specifically Robbie, and we also find out that they're still at Joe's place. So this is still the situation. I know we spoke about it the other week, but do you guys just think that they must have shut down that other set or something?
No, because they've been into the other set, but they just haven't redone it since it was, I guess, technically destroyed, you know.
But I just find it weird. Like, why have they done this? What, you know, it's just such a strange thing.
Continuity.
Set up. Do you think it's so that they can always set up Joe, Robbie, and Lenny in the storyline without forcing it?
No, I think it's what I mentioned last week. It's because I don't think that Joe's place is set up on the higher rises. So it's easier for scenes when it's the three, Joe, Lenny, and Robbie, to be in one scene. Yeah. If you notice, when the Ferals are there, they're either always in the window, or they're behind the counter, or they might be behind a chair or a couch or something.
Yeah, so that's true.
So I reckon it's that set. It's just easy for them to work on, and it just is convenient for the storyline as well to put them all in the same place.
Yeah.
Speaking of true. Joe King, it took 22 episodes of the show to finally get the joke in the actual episode about his name.
Well, that's what I wrote down as well. Like, is this the first time? So there's a letter, there's a package addressed to Joe King, and they bring up the whole, oh, are you joking? I'm only joking, you know, all that kind of stuff. Swinny, like, is this the first time it's been mentioned? This pun?
I believe so, and it was actually delivered really well, I thought. And what I was most interested in this scene was that we found out where Joe lives, where the address is of this place.
What? I didn't pick up on that.
On the package, it had the address to Joe's
address. Oh, no way.
Yeah. So, they live, or Joe lives at least, 16 Barn Street, Dentsville. Like, no, not...
I almost started to talk
about no, Google not Maps, dense, and I went, not wait dense. A minute. Wait. Dentsville. Oh, not dense, Dentsville. As in you're dense.
All right, hang on. Did you look this up yet?
No, but it's dense. Like, the package has got dense in it, right?
Well, it's D-E-N-T-S-ville.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying, isn't it? That's what it's the pun, right?
I believe so, yes.
Now, are you looking it up, Mike?
Look, there is a possibility there is a Dentsville
somewhere. I've already looked this up, Mike, so don't waste your time.
No, wait, there is a Dentsville in the USA.
There are two Dentsvilles in the USA, so again, don't waste your time, Mike. Clearly, you're not able to get the same level of detail that I am.
Damn, too slow.
you must live in Dentsville.
Did you find anything out about this Dentsville?
They're both very small towns, pretty much in the US, but they're very close together when it comes to, I guess, US geography. And I'm thinking, if you're going to name a town, have two Dentsvilles in the same country, at least have them like on opposite sides of the country.
Yeah.
So the only thing,
because that's how they arrange it, right?
I know, these things evolve.
They go to a central body that decides, oh no, we want, you know, one place over here, one place over there.
Now, I just love that the picture that represents Dentsville in South Carolina in the US.
Oh, South Carolina.
Is a building where the most prominent thing on the building is a sign saying barbecue beef brisket.
I just love
how that's like the most important thing.
That's good though.
I love how appropriate
beef brisket.
When I did the search, for some reason, the map pointed to Dent Middle School. That was the first thing I thought was quite appropriate given the theme of the.
Because
it's right next to Dentsville. As in, it's where it says Dentsville on the map, right below that it says Dent Middle School, which is pretty cool. So there you go.
Well, I mean, it's a bit better than, you know, we obviously have exposure to the west of Melbourne. And you guys remember if you searched for St. Albans, the Google image search would come up with a crime scene. It was like a murder scene, actually, as a primary image. That's where we grew up, folks. So if you can understand our warped sense of, you know, perspective, that gives you some insight. Yeah. Just thinking about it, what happens if you search for, like, Sunshine Victoria? What does Google come up with? Just checking it now. Oh, it's just got the map. Yeah, it's pretty boring. There you go. Anyway, move on.
Wow, that's a highlight going in the package.
Man, I was so happy. I was so excited, sorry. I thought it would be, like, my theory was that they live in Redfern or something like that, but not actually making a comment about Redfern, to be honest. I just thought that was the area.
Redfern.
It sounds like I am really making
Redfern,
a comment about
AKA
it.
Dentsville.
It's not the best area, I would say.
What, Redfern?
Yeah.
Oh, it's changing a lot. It's like North Melbourne. Anyway, there ends our commentary.
We digress.
On suburbs in Australia. So yeah, we learn that the ferals can't read, and that Joe King has an idea that,
sorry,
given that they can't read.
So I just got to clarify. I know you said that Moddy was reading it, but it's important to say that the ferals can't read, but Moddy can read. So I just wanted to clarify that to catch us back up.
Oh, I thought I'd made that clear at the start, but okay, I apologize if I haven't.
Just catching people
I wasn't reading my notes properly. So yeah, so we have Joe who's realized that the ferals can't read, ex Moddy. And then there's this concept of a school inspector. Are there actual school? There's no such thing as school inspector, surely.
No, well, I was just going to say, the only thing you could say a school inspector is if a teacher is nominated to go past, a house to find out why a kid hasn't gone to school in 2 weeks or something. But that's
is that
not
a teacher's job?
Well, I mean, who are you going to give it to? You're going to, in a school, usually it's probably maybe the best person suited at dealing with those kind of difficult situations. So.
I thought it would be like a social services person or something.
But if you notice, including our past history at secondary school, a lot of those secondary roles are just given to teachers anyway. So
yeah, that's true.
Like careers advisors. Like,
and we say teachers in quotes.
That's true.
I didn't say teachers in quotes.
I said teachers in quotes. We had like a handful of okay teachers. In fact, some of them were quite good teachers. But I would probably say over 50% were just, what the hell?
There were some dodgy teachers. There were.
Like, ridiculously dodgy teachers. Like, seriously, you could randomly walk down the street, pick a random person, and they are more than likely a better teacher than some of the teachers we had.
I was just going to say that I love the idea of a woodwork lesson to show class Titanic.
I know. Yeah. Or The Simpsons. Yeah. All right. How about this? Anyway. How about this, Swinny? If I could arrange this, that, you know, just say tomorrow, Monday, school day. I don't know if it is or isn't a school day, but just say it is. And I said that at 7 a.m., Mike wakes up and he has to go teach a class.
Hello.
Would Mike teach that class better than, say, 50% of the teachers that we got educated by at high school?
You're asking me? Swinny?
Yeah, I'm asking you. I'm saying at 7 a.m.
No, but look, there's...
How could you not say yes to that?
To the ones that we got taught by? No, of course not. I don't agree.
Really?
With
you reckon I would do a worse job than, say, Miss Wright?
Well, I said 50%.
First of all, okay, yeah, fair enough, I don't have an ass as nice as she did.
You said 50%, and I don't agree with that number.
How about we dial it down?
Okay,
where's the breaking
let's see.
Point on this?
Let's
how about
Mr.
a third? A third.
Miss Wright, Miss Papademos, Miss Atsumakis.
Mr. Petrarca was a good teacher.
I could have done a better job than any of those, and that's about 50% of the teachers we had.
I don't know.
Anyway,
I may not have a nice as ass as they did. just as a very, very tiny little addition, the one cool thing is we had pretty hot teachers. I'll give them that.
Who's the hottest teacher?
Pretty hot. I don't want this to become
a who's the hottest teacher? Anyway, whatever. So
they're all pretty nice.
Joe's got this idea of bringing in the school inspector to investigate the ferals, ex-Moddy, because, you know, if they fail the test, then they have to be sent to school. And we learn about why school's so bad from Radice's cousin. Do you remember the name of this cousin, Mike?
Oh, I do.
No, John does.
All right, Swinny, what is it?
That's like, I do, and Mike's like, John does. It's Pat's Ratzo.
Pat's Ratzo.
Wasn't he featured in a previous episode?
No, that was like Radice's uncle or cousin or something.
Okay.
A different cousin, wasn't it?
We have been introduced to Fats Ratzo. This is Pat.
Yeah, Fats Ratzo, yeah.
So, what I thought, I would love an entire spin-off series about Radice's cousins. You could have Grumpy Ratzo, Nyan Ratzo, Keyboard Ratzo, and Dramatic Ratzo.
Yeah. I didn't know where you were going with that for a second. Then you said Nyan.
See, Dramatic Ratzo would have just be like, dun, 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 just turns at the camera.
What I do enjoy is when they have... So, is this the second or third time that we've seen Radice dressed up as another version of a Radice? Because remember there was the American and then there was a French Raddus in the eating competition?
Yeah.
Yeah, but they weren't his... I guess they weren't
They weren't relatives. Cousins. Yeah, that... Yeah, no, no, no. No, no, I'm not saying that. The same saying, yeah, yeah, definitely. Yeah. I'm just saying, like, times that we've seen Raddus as other people. Like, it's not actually Raddus. So this would have to be the third, I'm pretty sure. Because we never saw Fats Raddus.
I like how the other... We'll obviously get into this sequence a bit more, but the other ferals in this sequence, including Pat's Ratso, they all had hair. So it was really weird seeing Darren with a hat on with black hair underneath. So it wasn't Darren. It was like, I don't know, probably like... I don't know. What's a random name? Another random bogan name.
Bevan.
Bevan. There we go. Perfect. It was Bevan and...
That's a very good... Bevan? That should be his cousin.
And Shirley. I don't know. She had the pigtails. Like Shirley Temple. I'm sure she had pigtails.
Oh, yeah. Fair call. So, getting into this...
Shirley Temple's probably famous for having short hair, and I say she's got pigtails.
No, I think you're thinking of... Oh, no, I can't even think of any ponytail one. Anyway, moving on. So, we have this little vision. I love this scene. And, you know, I don't know why, but I was expecting... Because it's obviously Raddus's puppet, but it's Pat's Ratso. And Raddus is recollecting the experience that he had at school, because he had to go to school and how bad it was. For some reason, I was expecting it to sound like Raddus still. But the voice... Can you do an impression of what the voice sounded like, Mike? Of Pat's Ratso?
No, because I didn't memorize it.
It was just kind of like...
I can't do an impression, but I can confirm that it was a different voice actor.
Oh, you think it was a different voice actor?
No, it is. I'm telling you. It's Sean...
Was it in the credits? Or?
It was in the credits and on IMDb. A guy by the name of Sean Masterson. Okay. A guy by the name of Sean Masterson that was also a puppeteer on things like Farscape, and I think he did work animatronic work on Babe. And
really? Yeah. Do you know who he played in Farscape?
Oh, I have no idea. Sorry. I don't know much about
that. Was he one of the main characters in Farscape?
No, he was a puppeteer. I don't know what were there puppets on Farscape that were main characters?
Yeah, there were. Yeah, there were. It's really... Luke Farscape really liked it. A good show. Yeah, I like it. I think it's got a big cult following.
Yeah.
Okay.
That was okay.
Well, you got to suck it up because we're doing the Farscape podcast after this one.
Oh, crap.
How many episodes has Farscape got?
Thankfully, not a lot. Oh, no. Actually, no. They rebooted it. They did reboot it, kicked it off, whatever you call it. So, I think it actually has a few more episodes than
I remember. Well, I still think the next podcast we do should be the Roger Ramjet podcast.
Roger Ramjet. I like Roger Ramjet. Anyway,
what we'd have to do is cut the exact same, like, half of the podcast each time, because it's the same thing every single episode, so...
That's true. Yeah, you should just pick a show that is almost exactly the same storyline each time and do reviews on that. But anyway, I love this whole little scene. It's like the camera angles were really extreme, and like the camera is constantly swaying around, like indicating how stressed out Pat's Ratso was. It looks like he was going to a private school or something.
It looks like a horror dream sequence, like in Nightmare on Elm Street style things. <so. laughs>
And then we had this teacher who was, like, yelling at Pat's Ratso, who may or may not appear later in the episode. Actually, she's from Home and Away, right, this teacher? Well, yeah. I probably should just... If you're talking about Australian actors, I guess they've all been on Home and Away, so that's not really indicating anything.
Home and Away is not her most iconic role, though. Mike,
Oh, okay, go on.
Mike, do you know what her most iconic role is?
I think I know what it is.
No, but I've seen her in quite a few things. But no, I wouldn't know what her most iconic role is.
Can I guess it? Because I don't know.
Yeah.
But I think I know what it is. And it's a good link to this podcast. Mike, you are the weakest link.
Is that right? Oh, yeah.
Correct. She was the host of The Weakest Link.
Okay.
Yeah,
the Australian version, obviously, for people that are getting confused.
Yeah, true. Good point.
I do remember now.
Can I just ask, in this sequence, did you guys catch the word that she was trying to get Raddus to spell out?
No.
Oh, I can't remember.
No. Well, you can't see the
and
whole
are you going to ask us to spell it? I'm worried.
No, I'm going to ask you guys to try to pronounce it. This isn't the whole word, but this is what I could try to get from it. So I've just pasted it into the chat.
Okay.
And Mike, can you please have like an attempt to try to pronounce this word first?
Anti-disestablishmenta.
That's pretty good. It's not right, but it's pretty good.
Why did you put an A at the end?
Because
isn't it just anti-disestablishment?
No, there was an A and there was other words. Actually, sorry, I say you're not right. To be honest, you're probably right, now that I've had a look.
It's just the default answer. Wrong.
I was just
expecting an actual word.
No, it was a fake big long word. And there's... I didn't catch the start of it and the end of it, but Monkey Boy... Well, Mike's got it, so he kind of ruined the bit, so...
Sorry.
Screw you, Mike.
You expected me to fail, and then you were going to make a joke about my failure, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, right. So it's not an actual word, though.
No, it's not an actual word. But okay. The point was she was trying to get Radis to say what the word was, so...
Because I just saw that this word is an actual word. That's a pretty long word.
A bull crap. Then that must be the word that...
That was probably it, actually, yeah.
Are you kidding me? That is not a real word.
A bull crap.
Anti-establishmentarianism.
Hey, wow.
That's a really good fake voice there, Mike. Anti-disestablishmentarianism. God. That must be the word then. I thought it was a big, long, fake word.
Anti-disestablishmentarianism. Anti-disestablishmentarianism. Anti-disestablishmentarianism.
I don't know why I find that so
it's
funny.
A political position that developed in the 19th century Britain in opposition to liberal proposals for the disestablishment of the Church of England. Wow.
So this is going back to the Tudor age, isn't it?
I'm speechless. Let's
this is getting insanely off track, this podcast.
Like, way off track.
We're going back to school with this kind of stuff. So, yeah. So, the whole point of this is we're trying to establish... Well, we're trying to establish... Are we writing the show now? They're trying to establish that school's really scary, they don't want to go to school.
So now the feral's a really good message to kids.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I guess I keep going back to, as Swinney points out, what Mel was saying. It's written for that 12 to 13-year-old boy who would hate school, right? Totally. Although, I don't think I hated school. We didn't do that much
in school. No, I don't
think
we did.
So, how could you hate it? I guess it would be better. When I think about it, school would have sucked if you had to actually do homework and learn and do tests and all that kind of stuff.
That's a good point. We'd really have to do any learning, did we?
Some of the funniest memories I've ever had were from school. And one I was actually thinking about today after watching this episode. Monkey Boy, do you remember a certain textbook in a health class?
Is this the one where there were a lot of additions to it?
Okay. So, back in high school, a lot of people used to have second-hand textbooks because, you know, it was expensive to buy new textbooks and whatnot. And often that would come at the price of the drawings and characters having certain edits to them. So, we had, I had an Italian textbook. I think it was the Avanti style of textbook.
Avanti,
Giorgio, è stupido. And it was like the characters had penises drawn on all their foreheads.
Apri la finestra.
Open the window for penis on my forehead.
That's all I remember
the best
from Italian class.
Apri la finestra.
Apri la porta, apri la finestra.
Apri la porta.
I like how I'm saying it like Mario. Anyway, but the funniest one for me was a health textbook that I didn't actually own this textbook, but it was handed out in class. And Monkey Boy's lost it. There was a picture of a gymnast. And this gymnast was standing on her tiptoes with her, arms spread out, about to do a routine. Monkey Boy's lost it. And there was this big arch of urine just spurting forth from this picture. and it had the words 10 out of 10.
It was going into like a toilet. I'm pretty sure the person drew a toilet as well. And there's this perfect stream. And it just says 10 out of 10. It was just so perfect. It's seriously one of the funniest things I've ever seen. Oh, God. Whoever did that out there, a genius.
Very funny. It was brilliant.
But it's true, actually. Like, I know it sounds really bad, but high school, we learned so little. It was incredible how bad the teaching was. I totally agree with Mike on this one. But it was awesome, though. We had the most amount of fun.
It was.
Like, it's impossible to match that kind of fun, because every day we're just mucking around doing stuff.
Pretty much.
So how can you beat that? It's, like, ridiculous. Of course you can't beat that. But, yeah, that was funny. I hadn't thought about that for such a long time, so I'm glad that came up. That was really funny. Anyway, so what do we have? So, yeah, the Ferals are faced with a decision. I like how we're, like, 30 minutes into this, and we're, like, 3 minutes into the episode. It's going to be a long one. So now the Ferals are faced with a decision. Either they go to school or become, as I would say, Joe's slaves.
Indentured workers. So they decided to be...
Yeah, yes, that's what I wrote as well, right? They were indentured to Joe.
Did you guys hear recently... Sorry, you know, because we're making such progress in this review.
Go on.
That there was recently, on that note, a school book or history book for, like, Texas high schools... pretty much said the slave trade, that they were workers and immigrant workers.
What?
Completely glossed over history and reworded the slaves as workers, immigrant workers.
Wow. Was that to try to be politically correct and not offend people by writing the word slaves or something?
But how's that politically correct? Fudge.
All I know is apparently there was this big uproar about it and it got... Yeah. It got taken out of circulation or something. Good. So, yeah.
Actually, it reminds me of this episode in Broad City, which is a great show, by the way. You should watch it if you haven't. And there's two Jewish characters who are the main characters, these two females, and then one of them is sort of seeing this black guy. And it's based in New York, and they're looking at the Statue of Liberty, and they're like, oh, wow, it's amazing to think all of our, you know, ancestors have gone through Ellis Island and, you know, gone to this nation, and then it just turns to the black guy and goes, my family didn't. And I'm like, oh yeah, that's true. Because that's a really weird thing. Like, when you're over there in America, they don't really talk about it. Like, we went to, like, I've been to Washington, New York, like, all over the states, Philadelphia. And it's kind of like, of course, the whole, you know, slave thing is huge in ingrained in the culture, but they actually don't really talk about it that much in the museums and all the places you can go.
Interesting.
It's interesting. So I'm not that surprised, especially in Texas, that they're changing the textbooks, just like the Japanese do about World War II. So anyway, we're totally off charts. So yeah, the Ferals have now got that decision, and they decide to be Joe's slaves. Or immigrant workers, like what would be correct in Texas. So we have... Do you guys like this little montage? I know you're not a huge fan of montages, Swinny, but did you like it, Mike?
I loved it.
The little montage of all of them doing little things, like... But what I thought was disgusting is that Darren was licking the dirt off Joe's boots.
That's what dogs do, though. It's not disgusting for dogs.
What? What do you mean they lick the dirt off the boots?
Yeah, they eat anything. They lick whatever. They don't give a shit. They're dogs.
I didn't like this montage because I felt that each shot went for way too long. Because it was a montage, but it was like a super fast sped up montage. But it kind of looked like Evil Dead stop motion style. It was a bit awkward.
Oh, damn, but I thought the opposite. I thought it was great.
I like the style, though.
I love the way they did it.
What I was going to say,
Can I just say, I like the style, but I agree they should have showed them doing more things, like different things. So, you know, with all the time it took, they should have showed them do six different things. Not, it was almost like they kept on showing them do the same thing. Like, we saw Radis folding the laundry like three different times, which I thought was a bit weird, but yeah.
But what I did like about it, and this is purely from the fact that we're doing this podcast and we kind of think a bit more about the show, is the amount of puppetry work that would have had to go into it. So
exactly
impressed me
what I thought.
It impressed me from that standpoint, but from a purely entertainment standpoint, I didn't really like it much. So, but it's a small thing. Yeah. So.
It's from a technical perspective, brilliant. I noticed that as well. I just thought, wow, this is so good, the way they've done it.
Well, do you know what I thought was interesting about it? The music in it. It reminded me of, like, a NES game.
Yes.
Ah, yeah.
That too. I no, because
is that
I,
your O sound, Mike? Oh, my God.
Oh, my God.
I just want to, like, Oh, my God. Anyway, so go on.
No, because I wrote that down too. I thought the music and the puppetry was just so well done. And the music in the entire episode was brilliant. Like, it just, it fits so good.
So, yeah. Yes. No, I agree.
Well done.
All right. So, and then we have, like, Moddy laying down like a model. She's being a bitch to all the ferals. And then we see the introduction of,
knowledge is,
you know,
power.
Lenny's invention. Lenny's invention for this episode. Which, you know, as we all know, it's going to be the center of the episode and save them in the end, as it always does.
Can I say what it was called?
Yep.
Yep, go on.
It was called the Digital Perv Cam.
That's about right.
Yeah, I wrote, Lenny, spy camera, this guy is getting creepier.
The only thing is, unlike his previous inventions, I'm pretty sure back in 1995, those things existed already. You know what I mean? It's like, it's just something you buy a J-car.
I don't know if one did. The first maybe, but the second one definitely not. That was way too
You reckon small. A tiny camera on... this predates Google Glass, I guess. Do you reckon a tiny camera on glasses didn't exist before that? I reckon it did.
No, it didn't exist.
Not the tiny one. I think the bigger one could have. But remember, this is a year, as I talked about a couple of podcasts ago... This is a year that the internet only started becoming really publicly available. That this is a year that Windows 95 came out, you know, where you've got to think of it in terms of.
That's true. I guess this is 2/3 of our lifetime ago.
Yeah, dude, like, this is 20 years ago, and it's like what Swinney was saying. Like, World Wide Web was only massively available in 1995.
Yeah, yeah. So. I remember that. I remember Netscape 1.0, whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
Old one we used to use.
So, I don't think that, you know, this was very common, but it's so creepy. It's like he's got this spy camera there, not telling anyone he's, like, filming them, and he's watching, and this guy's crazy.
But he used it for good in a bad way, if that makes sense. He didn't use it in a creepy way. He used it to help the ferals out. Pretty good. He could have used it to spy on people, but he didn't. It wasn't even implied that it would be used for something like that.
He's always trying to get Robbie to look at the camera as if he's testing whether she can see it or not. I mean, did you notice that in this episode?
Yep. Who, by the way, looked smoking hot with glasses.
Okay. So, can I say? We, you know, fashion trends come and go. Would Robbie, in her full attire in this episode, including her glasses, would she look strange if she was walking down, you know, Newtown in Sydney or Fitzroy in Melbourne?
Not today, no.
Completely.
Because what does she look like, Mike?
A female hipster, I guess, is probably the best
way. She looks like a hipster, man.
Yeah, full on.
You know who she?
And she even said, "Yeah, go.
Sorry, go. No, you go.
No. All I was gonna say is that because I know we find out later in the episode that she does have problems seeing, but at the start it didn't make." The way she spoke, it sounded like she actually could see. She was just wearing it for fashion. Did you guys think that? Because she goes, oh, I don't need glasses. I don't need them anyway. So if you guys are laughing at me, I don't need them. So I was actually thinking, see, she's even wearing the glasses just to look cool. Not because she actually needs them. I'm like, this is crazy. This is 20 years. So many predictions in this show, I've noticed. But anyway, what were you saying, Swinney?
I don't know why, but she kind of reminded me of Velma from Scooby-Doo. But when I looked it up, I realized that Velma had square glasses. But
and looked totally different.
Not the hair, the glasses. But
the hair, the look.
No, but let me just say, that's what I initially thought. Then when I typed in Velma in Google Image Search, I'm like, okay, no. But what I found when I typed Velma in Google Image Search is that for some reason, she's like a beacon for people that love big, beautiful women. Like, there's so many fan arts of Velma where she's just like this gigantic, massive, fat character.
Wow.
What is going on with this character? There's just.
But wait, was Velma fat?
No. It's just
she
like,
wasn't fat, so I don't get it. That's so weird.
I don't know. It's just look, I don't know what's up with Google image search. I know there's a lot of weird stuff out there, but there just seem to be a lot of images.
Can I just say, Google search does take into account what you normally search for, like as an individual user. So not saying anything, but you know,
yeah, because I'm totally looking for the BBWs.
Because when I search for Velma on mine, it comes up with Asian versions of Velma. So, you know, I'm not saying anything. Well,
you may or may not have an Asian girlfriend.
Well, that was the second page. All the first page had dogs dressed up as Velma, so...
Okay. Okay.
Let's move right along.
Hang on. We should probably explain that just in case. He works in pet insurance.
No,
there's a good reason for this.
So, okay, all right, Mike. Is this the hottest that Robbie has looked?
Yeah, oh yeah, for sure.
I think it is. I'm into the short hair now. I'm into the short hair.
Yeah,
I think the short hair with the glasses. Yep, that's where it's at. How about you, Swinny?
She was very attractive in this episode. Was it the
most attractive for how she's looked?
I've never heard John say a woman is attractive in my entire life. Ever. Have you? Like, this is the first time. This is a revelation.
Well, if you actually bother to listen to our pod, if you or how many legs you have, Mike, if you bother to actually ever listen to our podcast, I'm the first person that brought it up in our podcast. So, back at you, sunshine.
Yeah, but who listens to our podcast? Come on. What loser would do that?
Hey, we're getting a lot of listens to now. You know, that's wrong. We've got a growing audience.
Hey,
we've gone from two to
big build up.
Three? Lenny's, four?
Lenny's
no,
reaction.
No, a lot more than that.
Warmer? Five?
Lenny's reaction to Robbie with the glasses was, I thought, was priceless. It was just like a really good...
What did he say?
Reaction.
I don't remember it.
Yeah,
what did he say?
No, his expression, like his reaction. He didn't say anything. It was like kind of reaction. So
yeah, that's true. That
sounds like Rocky. Kind of... Adrian.
We could just have a highlight show of all your impressions. I love it. That was pretty good, actually. I reckon that's your best impression for the show.
Adrian.
Not so much.
I just like within minutes it's going more retard. Anyway, oh man, you're throwing me off. Yeah, I think Lenny in this season is actually way different to the last season. He's sort of like doesn't have as many lines, but he's way more expressive.
Yeah,
he's really sort of got some personality there. So what do we have?
Before we jump ahead.
Oh, before we steam ahead, yes, go on.
Did you see how when Joe complimented Robbie, Robbie's like, ooh, why thank you.
Oh,
and then like an idiot, he had to make that stupid dumb joke. He had the in. He was so in. But bam,
he just needed to say, shit, do you want to get some coffee?
Like slapping him.
But the thing with Joe, he needed to do that in this episode because this episode, he brought his doucheness back. He was on fire this episode.
Yep.
To me, I've missed this side of Joe. This is the Joe that we... This douche is on fire. No. This is the character we're introduced
to. That's alarming.
Yeah, this is the character we're introduced to in the first episode of this whole thing. You know, and Joe's just... That douchey side has kind of died off a bit, so...
That's true. This is authentic Joe King.
Authentic original Joe.
Mm.
And the authentic original 100% real made in Australia Joe. So we have Robbie who's got her glasses that look like car headlights
because they keep saying car headlights. That's the joke.
Yeah, I know that. I just wrote it like five times. And then we have Joe who's put his magical letter into I don't know like his outgoing letters. I don't know, because it's so weird. Like, we don't use letters anymore. I can't even really remember the flow.
We don't even use outgoing emails
in the past.
It's really weird. Like, did anyone ever have outgoing letters or messages or emails or anything like that?
Yeah, definitely.
It's kind of like, I want to write an email or send a letter. I'll do it now. That's it. It's gone. I've never postponed that crap. Why would you postpone sending that stuff?
Well, I never said outgoing emails, but outgoing letters.
You had outgoing letters?
Yeah, you have incoming letters and outgoing letters. So you have a
pile of
things that are coming in and a pile of things that are going out that you need to go post sometime because that's like a batch process, right?
Right?
I guess. Mike anyway. Can't understand the concept.
Like, I'm sure it's there's people that like do that. Demand. I've just... Maybe when we used to get more letters, maybe. Now it's mostly
bills that are coming in. Well, that's what I'm saying. We don't get letters.
And, like, yeah. maybe once yeah. a year, one letter that I send, if that.
Yeah, but yeah. usually most of the letters we get these days, the call to action on the letters is to do something on the web or
Correct.
By phone or something.
Yeah. So what, do you guys have, like, an outgoing list of going on the internet to reply to letters that you keep track of?
Well, I don't
of?
Get many letters that I need to action anymore.
Okay. What about emails? Do you guys have, like, an outgoing list of emails?
No.
Like, you queue them up and then you do a batch process?
No, because...
Or do you just go straight away, bam?
No, because the thing is, if you write a letter in the old days, it's not like you're going to write the letter, put it in an envelope, and then walk down to the post office and post it. You're going to put it in a pile, you know? You're not going to go do that straight away. You might need to go do something else. It could be a distance away. You might have to drive to the post office to post the letter.
Okay, I get that.
What do you not understand?
I guess it makes sense in 1995.
Happy la finestra.
Penis on my forehead.
It's me, Rocky. Oh, all right. Moving on.
So, yeah, okay. So, moving on. Now they're even... Do you think that they made the Ferals look like slaves in the next scene? Where we've got Mixie and they're all got their head bandanas
Dude,
or whatever
seeing,
you call
you're
them.
Seeing, you're seeing black music. You're seeing blackface. You're seeing shit. No, they didn't.
They looked like cleaners.
Yeah.
So
oh, they look
I
like
could
cleaners.
Understand how he could see them as slaves, Mikey boy.
Okay. All right. Well, I think if they sung a song while they were doing it, then I would be right.
Like,
but I'll give you guys a benefit.
Zippity-doo-dah.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And then
I
we
love,
have this scene
I love
where,
how that,
yeah,
that movie, sorry, I think Song of the South, has never yep. been released in the like the last 30 years or something because of that.
Yeah, well, I mean, you go all the way back. It's actually interesting. There's all these, is it Looney Tunes or is it Mickey Mouse? I can't remember. During World War II, they were forced to make anti-Nazi movies. And it's hard to actually get copies of them. I think they have some of them on YouTube. So I think if you look for like Looney Tunes Nazi or like you might come to the attention of the Australian Federal Police, but
it's for research
and,
purposes.
You know, or like Disney Nazi or something like that. They've got these crazy movies that they made. They're actually really like out there. It's very weird stuff. But anyway, so
wow.
in this scene
it's
we
amazing
have
propaganda, isn't it? Because it is. It's a form of propaganda, right?
Of course it is. Yeah.
No, of course not.
Fascinating.
No, exactly. What do you mean? No, they're trying to win an Oscar
that,
with it.
I need that Nicolas Cage face. You know, the... You don't say.
You don't say. All right. We're way off track. So we have the scene here where all the Ferals are doing work and Raddus hits Moddy on the head. Not Moddy. Mixie on the head. Because she said something stupid, but then she came up with an idea about getting other people to teach Ding. Them. How's this an idea? Like, surely they thought, you know, of course they want to be taught how to read. I don't know. Anyway, maybe I'm getting a bit too mean. And then, yeah, we have this bit where Raddus says that he's never going to suck up to Moddy, and then he gets called on by Joe,
and then the next scene
you see him. Yeah,
so, before we move on, one of my favorite parts of the episode is when
Darren
says,
I know what you're going to say.
Yeah, hit me too, and I might get an idea, and he hits him. All that happens is you hear a fart noise, and there's an empty thought bubble.
I did like the fart noise. I thought it was funny. I chuckled at that. So, yeah, that's true. So, the idea is to get Moddy to teach the Ferals how to read. And Raddus, you know, decides, oh, no, he is going to suck up to Moddy because... You know, he'd rather do that than be Joe's slave. So we see them all, like, sucking up to Moddy. I think what she gets, like, flowers and chocolates. And then Darren has to say something nice, which was kind of amusing. I guess it's, like, you know, Darren's character of actually trying to say the right thing, but then gives away the plan. Hey, have you guys noticed? This is, like, such a common theme in this entire show.
Well,
yeah. Darren Darren is like the key person to implement the final stage of any plan. So in this episode, you know, he's the key guy later. And how many episodes have we had it? So Darren is like the key guy that has to do something, like set something on fire or throw something over.
They should just exclude him from everything.
I would, yeah.
I feel like if we were to write an episode, you know how we've spoken about this a lot? There's a couple of things that has to happen in the episode for it to be, like, to tick off the Ferrell's box, right? One is, of course, Lenny has to invent some digital blank that is the key thing that saves them all at the end. Would you all agree?
Yes.
Yep.
I don't know. Oh, yeah, okay. And the other thing I think is that Darren has to be... Darren has to be the key instrument to that plan at the end. I think that that's also a key thing.
And can we have time travel?
Yeah, I like the idea of time travel.
Cool.
There hasn't been a time travel.
It'd be a digital time travel machine.
But I thought we were listing things that we had to include because they were standard Ferrell's tropes, you know?
Yeah. So, Swinney's right. You're off track already trying to think of an episode. I think if we were to do it, we should do one... There should be... What I think it should be is that the one button moves all the time forward 5 minutes and the other button moves the time backwards 5 minutes.
That's a good idea.
Or 1 minute or whatever, you know. But, like, in discrete amounts.
Or what we do...
You like that
what
idea?
What we do is... Yeah. You mentioned Primer last episode. What we do is true. We insert the Ferrells into Primer's storyline and then try to do an audio version... And hope that it makes more sense than the actual film version.
that film, it wasn't like it didn't make any sense. That's a
good
film.
It was hard to follow.
Well, you have to watch it a couple of times.
You had to watch it a couple of times.
Well, his follow-up film, you can't even understand it at all. It's, you know, there's some writers who are like that, where they just go over the top and then you're just like, I don't even understand this film at all. It doesn't even feel like it has a meaning. But anyway, So, okay, where are we up to? We're up to the bit where they're trying to suck up to Moddy. Can you remember what Darren said to Moddy? Said something like, oh, you know, you're pretty smart for ugly, dumb, old flea bag or something like that, right?
Was that Darren or Raddus?
No, I'm pretty sure it was Darren. Had to say something nice. I think Raddus bought her flowers and Moddy bought chocolates from memory. Mixie. I keep on saying Mixie and Moddy.
Raddus called her beautiful. Which he kind of struggled
That's
to
true.
Say.
Oh, God. So, yeah, okay, we go back to Joe's place, where we see that Robbie is still struggling to see. She doesn't want to put on the glasses because people say she doesn't look good, but I think she looks pretty good.
Oh, yeah.
And she goes to grab the electricity bill and post it. See, Mike, this is, you know, the process. She grabs it from the out pile. And, And it actually reminded me of, like, being a kid going to the post office with my mom to pay the bills. This is what you used to do back in the day. It's like life used to suck, man. Like, these days, it's just direct debit from your account. That's awesome.
That didn't suck. It was a social experience. Made you do exercise.
Social experience. It wasn't a social experience. You see all these crazy
people
around
sunshine. You get to meet crazy people. You get to get stabbed. It was an adventure and a half. Hey, did you hear what was it Robbie that said, how am I supposed to see that? It's tiny. Oh boy, have I heard that a lot in my life.
God. Yeah, that was in reference to Lenny's even smaller spy cam, which again, you know, this guy is just testing her out for later. Anyway.
That sounds really menacing.
Testing her out for later.
What is he doing? Okay, I'll ask you, why has he got a spy cam?
Because
why has he got a spy cam?
You could use a spy anything.
Cam. Yeah, you could use it for anything.
What are you talking about?
No.
Maybe cheat on his
something. Why does he make a digital fart machine? Why does he make a digital sound amplifier or whatever?
He does say things. Why he does it. He's like, this is going to do this and this is going to do that. But
it's
this one, he didn't say anything.
Spy
he just
on
did it.
Robbie.
In the shower or wherever. Anyway, this is where she's going to grab the electricity bill. But what we realize is that she's grabbing the letter that Joe wrote to the school inspector to come and, you know, test the ferals to see if they actually should be going to school or not. So that's quite an important plot point that I usually don't point out in these episodes. So in the next scene we see Moddy is teaching the ferals. Do you guys like, was there anything funny in this bit? I can't really, I didn't laugh from memory. I don't know. You guys? You remember anything
Robbie
funny?
When Robbie was teaching.
No, Moddy. I said, sorry, Moddy was teaching. I keep on saying everything else. The only important thing that we learn.
One, that I liked the subtle commentary that it sucks that we're forced to learn stuff. I thought that came out of this.
Okay.
And secondly, which is probably what you were going to say, the important thing that we learn is that Moddy sucks at maths. Like, completely, totally sucks at maths.
Yeah, she can't do maths. Yeah. And this, like, actually, I really like Moddy in this season. Maybe it is the puppet, how it's a bit more, you know, expressive now. Like, the eyes can open really big. Because there's a few scenes where, you know, she's like, her eyes are lighting up when they're talking about maths and how much she hates it. But yeah, I think the whole thing is that in the end, she quits. She doesn't want to teach them. And she hates mathematics. So then they're left to think, oh, you know. And it's through Darren getting hit in the head that he has an idea that he's going to get Lenny, Robbie, and Keith to teach the ferals how to read. So we see a montage of them trying to teach, like Radis, and then teach Mixie and teach Darren, and Joe's looking for them and trying to get them to do stuff.
Can I just say, when Joe's looking for Radis, he shouts out something like, "Wow, where are your rat features?" or something. That's not really an insult for a rat, is it? Say that a rat has rat features. It's like saying your dog looks like a dog.
Where are your dog features?
It's pointless.
Well, I've got a puppy. I call him Dog Face and Dog Head all the time. So,
see, there's, it's a nickname, I guess. There's nothing derogatory around that because it's just... True. He has a dog head and he has dog face.
No, exactly. Exactly. What is a male dog? Is it a sire? Is that right?
I don't know.
Sounds right. I'm not sure. Let's move on.
Yeah, I think it is. Anyway, so there's I'm pretty sure it's a sire, S-I-R-E. Anyway, so there's two clips that I wanted to play in this bit. So when they're getting taught, one is because they're reading this book, and the book's like John Helps People or something like
John
that.
John Helps His Mother.
It's called John Helps His Mother.
Yeah.
Okay. So, I thought it's worth pointing out that two out of the three people who host this podcast have John in their name. So, it's kind of appropriate, I guess.
I know.
I do like this clip.
Mike John Crotch.
Exactly.
Actually, sorry, Roch. Roch. What am I saying? It's Roch.
Thank you.
Mike John Roch. Exactly. Mike John Hunt. So, yeah, I might extract this and use it when I need to. So, I'll just play it now.
House. This John guy is definitely not normal.
Very appropriate.
I also like how in the first little clip of Keith teaching Darren, he's like, "Try it again, you ning nong."
Yeah, actually, I was going to play that bit.
Oh, okay. Well, can I just ask before you play it, ning nong?
Yeah.
Is that a common insult? I haven't really heard that.
Oh yeah, my family have said that.
It sounds like a racist slur.
I actually don't know if it is or not. It could be, but I've definitely heard that as a kid.
All right, Mike.
Yeah, here it is. It means a fool.
Okay, but not of any particular nationality.
Where does it come from?
Well, I'm trying to find where it was derived from. Can't seem to find it.
Ning nong etymology.
I know. Don't you love the internet? Oh, it just says unknown origin. It doesn't seem to be clear.
Mysterious.
We should. Oh no! But there's this song called "On the Ning Nang Nong" by some comedian. Oh, but it's from the UK. Maybe it's from that. I don't know. Anyway, so I wanted to play this clip. So we see that I think it's Lenny is teaching Radis, Robbie is teaching Mixie, and then I was like, oh, who's going to teach Darren? And then to my surprise and delight, it's Keith. and then fake Kylie as well, unfortunately. But we'll just skip past her lines. So I want to play the
line
clip because, yeah. What? Line?
I think she only had
what
one. Mean?
Oh, okay. Yeah, I think she did as well. So I'll play this clip because I found it funny.
On the page.
No one can be this dumb. He must be banging it on.
Try again, Darren.
John. Kim.
Yeah.
Eat. Apples.
Oh, what's that a picture of?
A banana.
Crikey, idiot head. Don't you reckon that might be a clue?
So good. I cracked up laughing at that.
Yeah. Do you think that was actually the funniest part of the episode?
I reckon
one of
it was.
Them. I probably, I yeah.
There were a lot of good bits in this episode. That was really good.
Yeah, I thought that was one of my highlights. It made me, like, I was cracking up at that stage. Okay, so I think this bit opens. And now, I'm not sure if it's because of the editing or whatever, because there was no ads, but I think there was a suggestion from Moddy that Moddy and Joe should go to the beach together. Did you guys pick up on that?
No, I didn't hear that.
Well, this is what I'm saying. I actually think it's this scene right here. Can I just, like, play it out?
No.
Oh, no, sorry. That's the other stupid bit. And it's just, like, right here.
Don't tell him he might be starting to get something.
So the next bit.
The beach? No way, Kat.
That's it.
Oh, yeah.
So, Joe was looking at Moddy. The beach, no way, Kat. So, I think she was propositioning him that they should go to the beach together.
Well, she needs to wear that red bikini sometime. You know, she's got one. God. We know she's got one. It's been shown on the show and in the Ferrell's Fantastic Fun book.
That is so creepy. That is so creepy. That's nightmarish. Imagine if you go into your bedroom and on there is, like, the Moddy doll in a bikini. That would
well,
be so... Ugh.
We know they've already locked lips, so, the next logical step is sex on the beach.
What? The drink, of course, right? For our audience out there. Okay, so, yeah, we have Moddy suggesting they go to the beach. Yeah, there's a drink called Sex on the Beach. Is that a joke?
It wasn't
okay.
meant to stop you.
Okay. So now we have the Ferrells pushing back on Joe because they're getting taught. So they're like, oh, screw you, Joe. We'll do whatever we want. Now, how did this happen? But we find out that the electricity bill is still there. Oh, that's right, because Joe was getting pissed off. Joe's getting pissed off that the Ferrells are pushing back on him. He's like, oh, well, I'm going to post this letter, and they're all panicking, and he can't find the letter, and he can only find the electricity bill. Then we figure out, okay, Robbie, who's blind, posted the wrong letter.
Can I just ask? I don't know what's going on at this spot. Have they ever insinuated that Robbie has bad eyesight in any previous episode?
No. Okay. And you know, that's true. I didn't like point that out, but that's so true. It's like, and I just kind of accepted it. It's like, okay, they're playing that she's like, you know, got sight issues now for no reason. I think I was still like thinking from the start of the episode that she's only wearing it because of the way it looks, like, you know, how she looks, not sort of that she actually needs it.
It must be.
But yeah, it's
it
well established by this stage. She can't read.
It must be a side effect of her type 2 diabetes.
Oh, God. So now,
by the way, is Michael alive? Because I haven't heard him breathe.
Yeah.
There we go.
There we go. He's just listening to this insightful commentary.
Indeed. I'm
trying to remember things. So we have the inspector who's going to come. The letter has been sent back to them. And it actually is the, from what I understand, what the New South Wales Board of Studies looks like. Like, Victoria was different, but, yeah, I'm pretty sure that's actually the Board of Studies emblem and everything like that, which is a bit dodgy. And they're going to test all the Ferrells, not just Raddus, Mixie, and Darren. They're also going to test Moddy. So, what else do they find out? Oh, they find out that the test is going to be tomorrow, not in a month's time or 3 months' time. So, they're all freaking out. And they ask Robbie and Lenny if they can cheat, which is, like, you know, very appropriate for the Ferrells.
By the way,
and they guilt trip Robbie in particular.
At this stage, I thought it was still just a joke that maybe Robbie, for whatever mischievous reasons, pretended to post a letter and there wasn't going to be a real inspector. Because at this stage, I didn't think there was a school inspector. I thought the whole thing was just something Joe came up with to manipulate them into doing what he wanted them to. So Joe's this entire time, I'm like, that's true. But I seriously did not think there was an actual school inspector. And then when this happened, I'm like, whoa, so there is an actual school inspector. That's nuts. Is this the part where they also mention the 1,432 questions?
No, that's coming up.
Okay.
you love to jump in.
So at the end, right? What happens?
His third note. He's like, when is his note coming
up? No, I actually have a lot of notes on this episode. Heaps.
All right, post it in the chat.
Like four. Okay, hang on, I will.
anyway. So, what they've arranged is that Darren is going to have a spy cam. Can you describe how it looks, Swinny?
Spy cam? Looks like Google Glass. You're talking about on exactly. his glasses?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
I will say that we've set up the cameras and I believe... So, Darren's got the camera on his glasses and the rest all have earpieces as well. Right? So, all the ferals can
looking
hear...
Looking at Mike's notes, sorry. Yeah.
So, what's the...
It's like a madman, right? This episode, well cut. It's like some fucking... He's what? Like watching German gay porn or something.
Ah, okay. I can see all these, I can see all these jokes coming up. I'm going to know where to leave space.
No.
No, I'll just say, in the... So, all the ferals had earpieces and... Darren had the camera, so that when he looks at the question, then they can say the answer through the earpiece. Now, that's actually a pretty cool idea. If it wasn't for the fact that it's... You can see the big wires coming from the feral's ears. It's, like, totally obvious.
It is very obvious. Sorry, I'm so off track now because I'm like looking at Mike's notes.
No, I'm hiding.
What's he talking about? There's one bit where he goes, and I'll read it and beep it later. It goes, Luke loves the cock. Lols. And then the next line says, John helps his mother. What? Why did you write that? What the fuck? Anyway.
God, you got a lot of beeping to do in this episode.
Yeah, I know, exactly. Thank God I learned my beeping skills. It looks ridiculous. It looks so ridiculous how their earpieces are coming out of the ear and the spyglass, you know, camera looks crazy. So then we have this teacher come and Joe's being an asshole. I actually like the way Joe was acting in this. I thought it was pretty funny.
We need to clarify, the teacher is the crazy... teacher from Patrick's dream. So it's the same person, aka what's her name? The person from
The Weakest Link Lady.
The Weakest Link, Cornelia Francis.
Which does sound like a teacher's name. We see how excited Joe is that she's coming. What was that, Mike?
No, I was gonna say we actually had a temporary slash. There was a teacher we had called Cornelia back in high school.
Okay, I don't remember that.
I've never heard of that in my life.
No, there was. She probably wasn't hot enough for you guys to remember, but there was.
What? Anyway, it's very bizarre. You're throwing me off, man. What are you doing? Is it this point? It's this point, right, where Joe... he's like joking around, and then she mentions how poorly written the letter was, and she makes him do the test as well. So now we've got five people doing the test.
I like that.
Yeah, I thought one thing I would say about this episode, I don't think there was any fat to it. You know, like everything kind of held together. The only dubious thing was that Robbie all of a sudden can't see. But apart from that, like, everything kind of works well. Like, they need the glasses because then they want to put the spy cam together. You know, Lenny's a bit of a freak, so that explains why he's got a camera. I don't know. Everything I thought held
likewise,
well.
Likewise. I thought really, really well strung together.
Okay, can I just say, Mike, because I've had a spoiler on your notes, can you please tell us how many questions were on the exam?
Well, see, I screwed up. There were actually 1,432. Now... Yeah. to add to that, because I've been playing Destiny and there's all these little secret things and I'm in some sort of inspector mode / tinfoil hat conspiracy theory mode, I thought initially I misheard and I thought you said 1542. So I'm like, oh, what's that converted into Roman numerals? Oh, it's MDXLII. I'm like, oh, wow, that sounds like moddy mixed with mixy mixed with... And then I realized it wasn't. It was 1432.
So I like you came up with this really elaborate, super, like, hidden lore about the fact that the numbers equaled a mix between moddy and mixy.
Yes.
Yet you got the number wrong.
Correct.
Yeah, you did all this work.
And it turned out 1432 was nothing. It was just the name of some band, that's some girl band from X Factor that started in 2012, I think. And then they disbanded.
They must have been fans of the show. Let's get them on the podcast.
Yeah. But they changed their name, so I don't think it applies anymore.
So 1432, there was nothing there?
Well... Okay, while you guys talk, I'll see if there's anything interesting that happened in 1432.
I like how they said you have an hour to complete 1,432 questions. Bloody hell, yeah. That's a lot of questions. That's crazy.
Well, as the budding mathematician that I am, that's about 2.5 seconds per question.
And I like how ridiculous. The exam was so thick you could kill someone with that block of paper.
It's true. Yeah, so they start the exam, and I find it amusing when they're actually, they're answering the questions all at the same time, a little bit later, like in a few scenes later, we see them, they're answering the question because, you know, Lenny and Robbie see the questions on the screen, provide the answer through the earpiece, and then they all write the answer at the same time. It looks so dodgy. Like, I've never seen anything dodgier than that. Surely the teacher would be like, what the hell's going on here?
I like how Mixie also says... Miss, haven't we seen you before? And I'm like, damn right, yeah. Mixie, I'm the weakest link.
Well, I mean, that's weird as well, right? So it's like they have a shared dream or vision of what Raddus was talking about. It's a bit creepy.
Yeah, it's like seeing the light bulb when someone has an idea and you go, oh, nice light bulb, true. Joe, whatever. It's not meant to make sense, so.
Yeah, of course. So, like, do you remember the scene where Lenny gets the question wrong? About the whole I before E, except after C thing?
Yes. Because I had a note on it.
What was the purpose of that? That was so strange.
Note. Another one of Mike's notes. Come on.
Well, the only thing was just a joke that did the whole fourth wall thing where he turned to the camera and said, I knew that.
Mm.
Which I thought was quite cool.
Yeah. But it was just strange, though. It was just like, why did they highlight that? I don't know.
It wasn't necessary, but it didn't feel contrived either. That makes sense. It didn't feel like it was totally out of place or just shit, the editing or something. It actually worked well.
But they did also make efforts to show that Lenny was tired and he was kind of losing concentration.
That's true.
I think that was the point.
That's true.
So.
That's true. Yeah, that's a good point.
The one part that I don't quite... Well, two things about this, which I think... Again, I hope I'm not skipping ahead. I think it happened just now.
I think probably are.
Where she goes that the teacher goes... or Joe goes, oh, yeah, I sent the letter. And she goes, that letter had the worst spelling I've ever seen. I'm thinking, touche. Because this... No, it must have happened before.
We've already covered this.
What? I wasn't paying attention. I was too busy trying to look for 1432. I was looking at 1432, oh, which, by the way, had nothing interesting happening in 1432.
No, but I'm saying, what was the Roman numerals for 1432?
Hang on. It is MCDXXXII. McGixie.
McGixie.
All
right, can I just say...
Triple X, II.
Can I just ask quickly, could you have Mixie? Like M-I-X-I? Is that a valid Roman numeral?
I don't actually know.
What are you saying, Swinny? You work it out.
I don't think you can, no.
In this scene, when the teacher looks at Darren and says... Those are some very unusual glasses. It just made me think that's the reaction that every single Google Glass owner gets from people on the street.
It's true. It's true. Do you think they'll ever return Google Glasses? Google Glass or whatever.
Not in that form. I think that they'll probably start bundling them in with branded sunglasses, like Ray-Bans and stuff like that. Maybe not Ray-Bans, but, you know, some other kind of popular brand that's not super fashion. It's a bit more targeted at people that like to be early adopters of technology and stuff. So.
I guess they have to be, just like, you can't tell that there's any glasses, or like there's any computer part of it. But then the question then goes, you know, privacy issues, you don't know that you're being filmed.
You've got that these days. People can get cameras and put them on the straps of their bags. They can look at people through phones, yet it looks like they're using their phone to send texts. Like,
I've got a camera and a pen.
Use it at work, yeah?
No, it actually did stop working a day after I bought it, but... apparently, you're not supposed to use it in change rooms where there's too much moisture. Well, they could have freaking written that in the instruction book. Jeez.
I just like how you take it to work, you find every excuse to drop it on the floor.
Actually, you've done that before, Mike. You were filming and you put it in your pocket.
Do you remember that? I did something. I was trying to uncover some journalistic truths of some sort. Yeah. No, it wasn't anything pervy. I was actually trying to do something. For the greater good of humanity,
Until you can tell me what it was about, I'm going to assume that you're lying.
I don't remember. I remember recording something once, but I would have remembered if it was anything dirty, and I'm pretty sure it wasn't. Because I would know, because most of the time it is. So, I'm pretty sure this one wasn't. And that makes no sense.
Oh, God.
So, anyway, going back to the episode, the one part I was going to say before I so rudely repeated what you guys already said because I wasn't paying attention.
Sorry, can I say, Monkey Boy was saying, going back to the episode, you cut him off by saying, going back to the episode.
I just do not pay any attention to what you guys are saying. The part that I did not get is how come they can't write, they can't read. However, for some magical reason, they're capable of writing. Now, are there people who can write but can't read? I don't think you can do that. At least I've never come across anyone that has the ability to write without being able to read.
That's a pretty
usually
good
read first, then you write.
Do you know anyone who can't read? Full stop.
I know someone, I can't mention any names, who is on the borderline of not being able to read. Yeah.
Is it a language thing or is it a literacy thing?
It's a literacy thing.
Oh, okay.
Hmm.
They
can speak English perfectly fine. I mean, they're not the greatest at it, but they can speak it perfectly fine. Yet, they're not very, very good at writing.
But, oh, wait. So, you said reading, but writing as well.
No. So they can apologies. They can speak well, but they're pretty bad at writing and reading. But the point is, I've never heard of anyone that is capable of writing, yet not being able to read. Like, how can you write something and then go, I have no idea what I'm actually writing? I know one... I remember an example. I'm not going to mention any names or people, whatever. Let's just say I had these neighbors who would read these religious texts. They were written in Arabic. However, they actually did not understand Arabic itself. They just knew how to pronounce the characters and how to write particular characters, but no idea of what the meaning behind the characters was, if that makes sense. So, say if I wrote the word awesome, I could write it. I knew what the characters were and how to pronounce the characters, but I would have no idea whatsoever what the word actually meant, which I thought was quite fascinating.
So you don't know what words mean. So it's just.
So they did. They had no idea whatsoever what the actual words meant. No.
Oh, yeah, okay. I'm not certain. Is Arabic writing phonetic?
I don't know.
There's a symbol for a character and a symbol for a character.
I would imagine it is
because Japanese is like that. Yeah, Japanese is like that, right? A katakana. No.
Yeah, correct. So you could learn how to pronounce.
No, wait. Let me clarify. Japanese has two phonetics and then the kanji. So what I'm saying is,
yeah, the kanji's not.
I can understand and say, okay, that says that if it's in one of the Kana languages, but I don't always know what it means. So it's not strange. But it's interesting. I don't know how it works with Arabic. So,
I guess Mike's point's wrong. Because would you classify that as reading if you can just say the words, but you don't know what they mean? That's not really reading, is it?
Does reading require comprehension? You know, I
think so.
Sometimes I read things and I just have no idea what I just read. It's like, whoo, yeah, there's some words. I just read some words. No idea what that said.
I think this conversation's gone nowhere. Let's go back to the exam.
Yeah, exactly. So we have the wiring conveniently sort of sticking out of the carpeting. I think they put carpet over the wires to try to conceal it. And the teacher's walking around and she conveniently disconnects the wires. So now Lenny can't see what the ferals are seeing. And I don't think he can talk to them either. Is that right?
No, it seems like all communication.
So that means that one wire serves video and audio back in 95. And it was a very thin wire. I think that's even more advanced than what we have today.
in this scene as well, is that when they realized and they went to look out the window, we got a great ass shot of Lenny.
Really? I don't remember that.
Actually, it was both of them. It was both of them, but I'm expecting you guys to
notice. Oh, was it Robbie as well? Oh, no, I didn't even
notice
that.
Oh, I remember that. I wasn't going to say anything. I don't want to be a perv
again.
So you
completely no-sold my joke. You're like, nah, I'm not even going to say, oh, you noticed Lenny, but not Robbie. You're an asshole, Mike.
I'm sorry. I don't want to make jokes about you being gay anymore. Like, we get it. It's fine. We can move on now.
Oh, I think I just know... I think while you guys were distracted by Robbie's butt, I think you can actually
see the boom mic
he was in this distracted. Scene.
Really?
Oh, you can see the boom mic. God, I didn't...
I think
I was totally distracted.
Oh, yeah, you can. You can see the boom mic. I don't know why I'm so excited.
Boom mic in your pants, or you just have to see
I get so excited when I see boom mics in shows.
I was just going to say, they knew that nobody would notice that boom mic except you, Monkey Boy. So.
Exactly. Okay, yeah. So what has to happen is that Robbie has to go out, reconnect the wires, but the ferals have to provide a distraction. I thought it was pretty funny at the start, and then it got pretty annoying. Like, we know when Monty is pretending that she's sick, that the question's making her feel ill.
I liked it because Robbie does her best Solid Snake impersonation, where she kind of shuffles along with her back against the wall, and then, like, rather than knocking on the wall, she, like, goes... cuckoo, or like goes hey or something like that. So
you just missed the what was it, the box, the cardboard box. That would have been awesome.
Yeah, and I like how
shuffled out like that
when they were distracting the teacher by saying I'm sick or whatnot, and then Robbie manages to quickly fix it after getting stepped on her hand.
Yep.
Is that they're all good again, and Marty says it must have been feral fever, which only lasts 60 seconds, which I thought was actually pretty funny.
Which was the setup, that they've got 6 minutes to go, and now they've only got 5 minutes. 5 minutes to do 300 questions.
Mike,
the first thing I was thinking of.
Mike would know something about only lasting 60 seconds.
60 seconds, please. That would be awesome if I could last
six
that
seconds.
Long.
I was just thinking, and I don't know, maybe taking too many exams. This is terrible test-taking strategy. Leaving 300 questions for 5 minutes to go. That's crazy. That's less than a second a question.
I think it's a little crazy doing 1,432 questions in 1 hour as well. Just putting it
out there. True, but, you know, you can't leave 300 questions sitting there. You're going to fail for sure if you do that.
You're going to fail for sure if you have an exam that's got 1,432 questions in 1 hour.
Stop being so logical, Mike. You're ruining the...
Unless every question was a yes or no, and you could just randomly...
It did look like they were writing answers, which makes it impossible.
Correct.
Absolutely crazy. Okay, so then the test is over, and, you know, this is the scene where we really see them all answering the questions at the same time just before the buzzer goes. And Joe, of course, he's that one person that's still trying to write after the test is actually finished.
Do you guys remember that ad? I'm going to have to look it up and post it.
Oh, yeah.
Do you guys remember
that
ad?
I
know
what you're going to
say. That one.
Ad.
That's the one. How cool
is
that?
It's like an ad. Oh.
Brilliant. I actually do know what you're talking about, I reckon.
See, Luke knows it.
Can I say it?
Say it.
It's the ad where you know, the person's writing at the end and they're all like being assholes and the teacher's like, oh, you gotta stop, you gotta stop. And then the kid like slips his exam in the middle of all the rest of them. So he doesn't know which one is his.
Well, the full setup is that it's a big exam room and this guy gets one of those little lotto scratchies and he starts like trying to scratch away the metallic stuff that covers the winning numbers. And then the teacher's like, okay, that's it, finish time. And he's still sitting there scratching while everyone leaves. And then he looks up and goes, oh shit, there's no one here. And he takes his paper, goes to the front, and the teacher goes, sorry, too late. And then the guy goes, do you know who I am? And the teacher goes, no idea. And he goes, good. And he shoves it in between the pile of shit, the exams, and just walks off. So that was pretty cool. It's an awesome ad.
I felt like I just listened to a movie.
Yeah.
It
wasn't
like
quite a movie. It was about half an episode of a series, but... And it had dragons and shit at the end. It was awesome.
What I like is, you remember more details about an ad that you watched like 10 years ago than you do of episodes that you watched half an hour before we record this podcast. Yeah. It's fascinating insight into your mind.
You're like, oh, what did Pat's Ratso's character say? It's like, I don't know, but I know what some random ad about an exam from like a decade ago says.
And the setup was perfect. Like, you said all the critical bits, and you didn't really have much fat to what you were saying. Very interesting. Maybe if we record the podcast in 10 years from now, you just have all these insights
quite
into
possibly,
the episodes.
Yeah.
You could just do it by yourself. Solo.
Did you notice the boom in the top right of the frame? Anyway.
I'm actually going to link you guys if you want to put it in the post notes. There it is.
That's the post notes, yes.
And also, I put a link for L. Byris's microphone penis thing.
What?
It's a spot quiz. Click on it. Click on it and riddle me this. Is that a microphone or is that his long black schlong?
I'm so lost.
It's that Edred. What's his name? Edred Elba? The next James Bond.
That's right. He would make a good James Bond.
The guy's Luther. Surely that's a microphone. Duh, right?
It is. He confirmed. It is.
He confirmed.
Well, surely. I don't know. Look at the guy.
It's far too small to be anything but a microphone.
Is that a guy or a girl on the left? That's a girl, yeah.
That's a girl, man. What are you talking
about?
See, well, it's hard to
tell. Is that a guy or a girl? It could just be a very feminine looking guy. I mean,
yeah.
Anyway. Look at the hips, man.
Yeah, that's true, but...
I don't like to make assumptions these days, man. I've seen some really skinny dudes in women's jeans.
So. That's true. Hey, see, just quickly go look at...
Was that before
or
after your trip to the Philippines?
It was in the middle of it.
If you carefully look at Elba's left foot, you'll see right at the bottom how it snakes around and goes all the way down.
What's he talking about? This, anyway,
I don't know why. This reminds me of the photoshopped image of Shaq and his girlfriend. Where it's not actually Photoshop, but it looks like it is, because she's like half his size. AKA the walking blowjob.
It's like that picture right, of that hamster trying to eat that banana.
Yes.
Yeah. That was funny. Anyway, we're way off track here. So now we've got the exam results. They've come in.
Yeah.
And Robbie's going to read them one by one. Moddy passed. Radis passed. And wicked. Did you guys notice that he said wicked? Yeah, yeah. That was so 90s, wicked. Man. No one would say wicked these days.
Wicked man.
What I didn't get is that they're getting different results. So Mixie
got
exactly.
a credit.
Exactly.
I noted that too.
And Darren got a high distinction. How does that work?
Darren got a HD. I love it.
They all have the same answers.
And how does that work?
Answers.
They're all, yeah, they're all writing the same answers.
No, to me, what that told me is that Darren wasn't actually writing the right stuff, but... Because Lenny wasn't getting everything correct, that for whatever reason, Darren's wrong answers different answers were correct. So
either that or it's like, you know, when we went to school and they had that program for disadvantaged schools where regardless of like how well you did, you'd still get into a uni course. Maybe it's like that. Or maybe it's like the subjects where if you did specialist maths, it gets propped up even if you sucked at it compared to, say, doing, I don't know, graphic design.
They're all doing the same test. What are you talking about?
No, but what I'm trying to point out is because he's the dumbest of them all, he gets extra credit just because he's so dumb.
What? Okay. Where
what? Because all of a sudden a school inspector makes sense, but my theory doesn't.
Yeah, that's true.
It might make sense. I guess you got homeschooled kids. How do they get degrees and, you know, how do they get their high school diplomas?
Their parents cut it out of... They fish it out of a packet of cereal? I don't know.
I wasn't fish homeschooled. Out of a packet of cereal? What?
My dad did not teach me many things.
I lived on you.
Okay.
He said, Michael, let me tell you something. You must learn things for yourself.
The list also just has the people who... passed, and we noticed that Joe isn't on the list, so he therefore has failed and has to go back to school. Do you guys remember the absolutely lame pun that Moddy said?
No.
Unfortunately,
I had to watch it again. It was Joe Dumbbell King. I'm like, I don't even get it.
I remember that, but I didn't click it.
Oh, do you think it's because, obviously, dumb makes sense, but that people who used to lift weights, as in dumbbells, were considered to be dumb because that's all they did. Do you think that's the link? Is it a stretch?
Well, yeah, but I don't understand why it's Joe Dumbbell King. Like, Dumbbell King? Or I don't know. I don't get it.
Because he spends too much time at the... Nah, see, he doesn't even go to the gym. It doesn't even imply that he does. Yeah.
I like...
Well,
I like
he was a fitness instructor. So.
True.
I like that the ferals say, let's party. And they just start shimmying side to side as they
walk. I know.
It's really weird.
Swaying. It looks super weird, doesn't it? That was super weird. I don't know. It was just... I thought the same as you.
I thought it was going to start doing a conga line or something.
It's true. And in true form, they're...
Like the human centipede conga line.
You idiot. Well, they do have stuff up their ass, so it's probably not too far from it. Anyway, so we in true form, the ferals are pricks, and they were meant to study. So they were meant, Robbie and Lenny, which we didn't say this, Robbie and Lenny cheated, but only on the proviso that they will keep studying. And then as soon as they got the results that they passed, they were like, oh no, screw you guys, we're not going to study anymore. And then obviously we have Robbie and Lenny are like, oh no, we're going to, you know, we're going to spill the beans if you don't. You know, so again, extortion. So they have to study, or else they're going to tell them that they cheated.
So and then that was the end. Suddenly, Lenny and Robbie are nice again. Like, what's going on? Joe's back to his douchey self, and Lenny and Robbie are kind of back to kind
helping
of
them out.
In the first few episodes.
Yeah, it's true. It's very strange. Yeah, I noticed that as well. That, like, all of a sudden they're nice, but why? Anyway. So, I guess the end of the show shows that they find out what happens in the last page of the murder mystery, let's say. They find out who the killer is, and they don't reveal it to anyone, but as if you care, because you know nothing about this book.
Yeah, I know. It's
a very strange thing.
It could have said it was Mike, and for a week, no, Mike was the
exactly.
story. We wouldn't know.
Well, exactly, they could have said, oh, it's the driver. It's like, well, who cares? They should have ruined a classic book. Anyway, so do you want to jump into reviews?
Yes.
Ratings? into a review of the episode. All right, cool.
Let's jump to conclusions.
I'll start. I gave it a 7, but probably a strong 7. I laughed a lot in this episode. I thought it was pretty well written, pretty tight, funny, all you want from an episode. So how about you, Swinny?
I give this episode an 8. I thought it was a very good episode. It had a couple of moments that really made me laugh, and it was just... It had probably... I still like Mavis, but I'd say the teacher was probably the second best cameo so far. So,
yeah,
I agree
with
a really
that.
Strong episode.
Yep. How about you, Mike?
I reckon 10. I loved it.
Whoa!
Dare I say it was my favorite episode so far.
Oh, really?
I thought it was really well written. I thought the acting was great. The puppeteering was great. Besides, as you said, the whole point about Robbie all of a sudden being blind, either we missed something in previous episodes or just, you know, it was just introduced as a trigger point. Everything just fits. It was just really well made. Music was great.
I had a feeling that you were going to rate it 10, but then you knocked it down a point because you thought you didn't realize that the exam had 1,432 questions and it ruined your bid.
All right. Well, that was a very well-received episode. So join us next week for episode 8 of season 2, Rich and Infamous. Infamous.
Mm.
But for now, it's bye.
Adios.
Bye.
Very questioning bye.
Right. See you later.
Ciao. Sorry, Ron Burgundy.
Apri la finestra.
Goodbye.
Hasta la vista.
Goodbye. Is this Ron Burgundy?
Is this still officially part of the podcast? Because we're going to end it.
I don't know. This is it. After show. Bye-bye.
See ya.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.